Numbers chapter 14, and I'm thankful to have a Bible, and what a blessing. Numbers 14, we're going to be jumping right in the middle of a text of Scripture. Verses 11 through 20 will be our text this morning in Numbers 14, verses 11 through 20. I want to read to you by way of introduction, verse 18 and 19, and then we'll get into the message this morning. But notice in Numbers 14, verse number 18, the Bible says this. This is Moses now talking back to the Lord. The Lord is long-suffering, is recalling what God has said, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Notice this in verse 19. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. You'll notice there right in the midst of verse number 19, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And I've used that as the title for the message this morning. We've spent the calendar year of 2023 talking about the truth that our God is great. And I'm so thankful that His greatness is revealed to us in the pages of this precious book. And what a blessing it is to know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. As we sang from Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2 this morning, and every service of this year, we've had the opportunity to sing that wonderful song and be reminded as you come in, you see the banners on the wall, and understanding that great is the Lord, and what is it about God that makes Him great? Well, there's several things, many things, and we've been studying those things. As we've kind of taken the first part of 2023 to kind of categorize it this way, let's discover God's greatness. What is it that would cause you, that would cause me to say God is great? And then as we enter into the latter part of the year, we'll deal with the subject of declaring His greatness. Of course, that was the theme for our missions conference just a couple of weeks ago, and we'll spend several messages at the end of this year. Now that we have discovered the greatness of God, we ought to be declaring the greatness of God. This morning in this text of Scripture, we find that Moses makes reference to the greatness of God's mercy. And it's a blessing to consider that our God is merciful. As we begin to think about the text of Scripture that we're in here this morning in Numbers 14, and we're looking at just the center section, if you will, of this particular chapter, but I want to remind you of what's taking place historically in the events of this particular chapter. It was in Numbers chapter 13 that God had given the instruction to Moses to send those 12 spies into the land. And we understand that God had given the direction and their responsibility, these 12 individuals that were to go and to spy out the land. Their job was not to come back and say whether they could or could not take the land. Their job was simply to bring a report. And we find that they came, and as we sing the song with the children and we sing in our Sunday school, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad. What is it about those 10 that cause us in that song to say 10 were bad? Well, they brought an evil report. The Bible tells us that they brought that report about the walled cities, about the defense of the inhabitants of the land. They brought a report about the stature, the giants that are in the land, and they reached this conclusion that we are not able. It's an evil report. It's a faithless report. There are two. As you enter into the 14th chapter here in Numbers, you find that there are two that stand up. And after they receive that evil report, the people, they are persuaded by the evil report, and they're actually ready to go back to Egypt. There are two that stand up, Joshua and Caleb. They try to steal the people. They bring that report. They did not deny the fact that the cities were defensed. Walled. They did not deny the fact that there were giants in the land, but they said God is greater. They said God is able. They said that God is able to do what God said He would do. Well, that wasn't very well received, was it? The people were going to take up stones. And they were going to stone Joshua and Caleb. They were going to kill them because of this particular report. And we find that they rejected the plea of Joshua and Caleb. And as we look in the text of Scripture and we understand contextually all that's taken place, we know, and as Joshua and Caleb made it very clear, that God had given a promise to the children of Israel. God had faithfully brought them out of Egypt, and He brought them out with the purpose of bringing them in to that land of promise. He did not bring them out so that they could wander around, so that they could be aimless and hopeless and helpless. No, He brought them out that He might bring them in. And we find that the people, they did not believe the Lord. They did not believe the Lord. God had already revealed His great power to this people, the children of Israel. In fact, we know that as we've studied even in previous weeks about the greatness of God revealed to Moses and the way in which God revealed His greatness in Horeb when He first started that interaction with Moses, and then how He displayed His power in Egypt, and then as He brought them out and through the Red Sea. And what a blessing to think about all that the children of Israel had witnessed, had experienced. And yet they continue to walk by sight and not by faith. We come to our text of Scripture this morning, and we find that in verse number 10, the Bible tells us of Numbers 14 that the people are going to stone Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible tells us that the Lord then speaks to Moses in verse 11. And notice what God says: "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" God wants His people to believe Him. God wants us to trust Him. The just shall live by faith. We find that God had revealed His power. God had demonstrated on countless occasions for the children of Israel what He was able to do. And yet they're ready to return to Egypt, a place where they were enslaved, a place where they cried out for deliverance from that place. God so graciously, powerfully delivered them. Egypt is a picture of the world in the Bible, the typology. And so we're going back to Egypt. And God says, "How long, Moses, how long will it be ere my people believe me?" Notice what God says in verse number 12. "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." Now, can you imagine Moses hearing this? For most people today, this would be a message that would be gladly received. Oh yeah, deal with all those people and then make of me a better, mightier nation. Moses was not a prideful man. Moses was a humble servant of the Lord, meek. He understood that God had placed him in the place that He did. And we find that God, by the way, our God is a righteous judge. We understand even in previous weeks, and this morning I'm going to preach on God's mercy. In the past couple of Sundays, we've dealt with God's love. And I'm thankful that God is love, and I'm thankful that He's merciful. We understand this morning that God is holy, and God is just, and He is righteous. And I believe this morning that as we look at the nation in which the children of Israel, we look at their history, but then even as we look at our own nation, I fear that sometimes there's too much of an emphasis maybe on the positive attributes of God and not an understanding that our God is holy and He's just and He's righteous. And we find that in verse number 12, when God says, "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them," listen, they deserve judgment. God always does what's right. Always. Notice as we look at our text of Scripture, in verse 13, Moses said unto the Lord, Moses, the great intercessor, standing between the people and the Lord. Notice what he says, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee shall speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Moses says, God, the people are going to begin to talk. If you kill all this people, they're going to reach the conclusion that it's because you were not able. But Moses knows that God is able. Moses is fully convinced and persuaded that God is able to do what God said he would do. And we find that Moses stands there as an intercessor, and he is standing between the people and God. And the people, they've already believed the evil report. They've already prepared for returning to Egypt. They say in verse number 4 to one another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. But Moses stands there. As we look at this passage of Scripture, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to notice first of all with me what Moses recalled. Notice what Moses recalled. We've set the scene this morning. We understand what's taking place, and we find how God has spoken to Moses, and Moses has responded to the Lord. And now notice in verse 17, as we notice what God had previously revealed, and now Moses recalling this, it says in verse 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. Notice what he says, according as thou hast spoken, saying. So we're noticing here what Moses recalled. In verse number 18 and 19, I read it by way of introduction, but Moses is recalling what God had previously said to him in Exodus 34. We'll go there in just a moment, but let me read it again. The Bible says this, this is Moses recalling what God has said. The Lord is long-suffering. Aren't you thankful that God's long-suffering? Many times in our lives, I've said this over the years, I rejoice in God's long-suffering in my life more than I do in God's long-suffering in your life. Why is that? Well, it's just kind of a human nature. We're so thankful when God's long-suffering to us. And then sometimes we're so, God, why aren't you dealing with that person? But God's long-suffering. Notice what it says, and of great mercy. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Notice in verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. And so we find in verse 18 what Moses had recalled. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of God. We find that this morning we can be merciful, but it's only because God is merciful. And as God's people are to be like God, then we can show mercy. But this truth, this attribute is distinguishing. It is a distinguishing attribute of God. God, if we were to speak about mercy this morning, we could simply define it this way. It is God not giving us what we deserve. God not. You know what these people deserve? They deserve judgment. They deserve judgment. And God said to Moses, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to smite them, and I'm going to make of thee a greater nation in verse number 12. But Moses recalled something, and what he recalled was that God is a God of great mercy. Go back to Exodus chapter 34, if you will. You'll note in Exodus chapter number 34... that there's some very important things that had previously happened to this chapter. In Exodus chapter number 20, we read of the Ten Commandments, and then we find that God begins to give Moses all of the instruction with regard to the tabernacle. God is revealing the pattern that he should use to build the tabernacle and all of the furniture and all that's taking place. And while Moses is up there on the mount and receiving the instruction from God, we find that there's a problem in the camp. We find that the people, they break the law, they break the covenant, and God has them go, and Moses and Joshua return, and we find that as Moses is coming back, he hears what's taking place. They hear this noise of war in the camp, is how it's described by Joshua, and we find that they arrive and they find that there are calves that have been created. These are your gods. It's a terrible scene. Unfortunate set of circumstances. We find that these people had sinned, but then they repented. If you read chapter 33, and you come to chapter 34, and you find that it's in Exodus chapter number 34 that God would renew the covenant that had just been broken by his people. And as he renews the covenant, and as he's speaking to Moses, notice the Bible says this in verse number 6 of Exodus 34, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. This is the Lord speaking. It says in verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. So we see that God is speaking. He's speaking here to Moses. And notice what he says. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Isn't it amazing as you read the account in Numbers chapter 14, our text for this morning, that when we deal with this truth, as we look through this passage of Scripture, we notice first what Moses recalled. Moses recalled exactly what God had previously revealed to him. And I think about Moses making this recollection as mine, and I think about what the prophet says, the prophet Jeremiah. You don't need to turn there, but in the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, a very familiar passage of Scripture for us, but we find that the third chapter of the book of Lamentations, in verse number 21, here's what the writer says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Jeremiah, after the Babylonian captivity, as he's lamenting all that's taken place, he says, "This I recall, and therefore have I hope." What? It is of the Lord's mercies. The Lord's mercies. Notice what the psalmist says. Notice in Psalm 77, if you would turn there, Psalm 77. And notice what the Bible says in these few verses of Scripture. We won't read the entirety of the psalm, but we find that in the first verse of Psalm 77, that the psalmist reveals that he's crying out to the Lord. He's in a day of trouble, according to verse number 2, and he says, "I've sought the Lord." We'll pick it up in verse number 6. The Bible says this, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, my spirit made diligent search." Notice what he asks these questions. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Listen, there are times you might feel this way. You know what's different about us and the psalmist? And we understand some of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But for far too many of us, we fail in this area of transparency. And even being transparent with the Lord. There are times in which we deal with difficulties in our lives. We might not be very transparent about what's going on, but we see the psalmist in this time of trouble, and he's going through and he's asking these questions, and he's just struggling with what's going on. But then notice in verse number 10, "I'm thankful." He doesn't continue down that path. It says, I said, "This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works, and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." I mentioned last Sunday as we talked about God's love, and in John 13 is where we started last Sunday morning, that he loved them unto the end. We talked much about that cycle that I talked about last Sunday morning with regard to reminding ourselves that God loves us and then resting in his love and then rejoicing for his love. And I'm so thankful that as we go through that process and remember that I said that we need to remind ourselves of God's love for us. Why? Because there are times in which the accuser of the brethren would like to whisper to you and whisper to me that God has forgotten us and God's not loving us and God's mercies are dried up, as the psalmist says here in Psalm 77, but no, we remind ourselves that no, God does love me. No, God is merciful. And we find that here in this passage of Scripture in Numbers 14 that Moses has recalled what God has previously revealed. It's so important for us to be students of God's Word. You cannot recall what you do not know. You just can't. We understand, we speak about God's Word, and we talk about revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we understand that God was speaking through His men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But you understand that the canon of Scripture is closed. God's given us this book, and He's told us to be students of this book. We're to read it and study it and meditate upon it and memorize it. And we're to get into this book. And someone said this, to know God is to know His Word. And I can't recall what I simply do not know. And Moses is able to recall these truths with regard to the attributes of God because he knew them. Because he knew them. Because God had revealed them to him. I'm thankful that in this book, God's revealed to us everything that we need to know. He said this, he says he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's nothing that you need or that I need to live this Christian life in a manner which is pleasing to God that he's not given us. He has given us the Holy Spirit of God, and he has given us the Word of God. And we find that he's given us everything that we need. And I'm thankful that as we go through, listen, I've not memorized the Bible. I don't have the whole Bible memorized. But I read it. I study it. I spend time in it. You know what's amazing? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. And because I've spent time in this book, you've experienced it as well. The Holy Spirit of God will remind you of truth that you've read, that you've studied, that you've heard preached. He'll remind you because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. He's the author of this book, and he'll remind us. Listen, it's a good thing that Moses recalled this truth in this particular setting, in this circumstance in which Israel is dealing with. Moses recalls great truth. Jason Starnes, he was actually here last Sunday, but he asked me this question years ago. He said, Pastor, it seems like I watch as you preach. And he said, he was just making some comments, and he said this. He said, every once in a while when you're preaching, it just seems as if you go to a verse of Scripture that you really didn't have in your notes, and that it was something that maybe you didn't plan to say. Is that true? Is that a good observation? And I said, Jason, it is. He said, I thought that might be the case. He said, can you help me understand that? I said, well, just at certain times as you're preaching, as you're delivering the message, the Holy Spirit of God will remind you of a verse of Scripture, and it's as if he says, you need to go there. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just simply saying God will help us to recall as we get into this book. Notice not only what Moses recalled, but I want you to notice what Moses requested. As we continue reading in Numbers 14, we read very specifically what Moses requested, but I want you to understand this morning that Moses, I believe this morning, that Moses would not have made the request that he made had he not recalled the truth that he did. The request that is made in verse number 19, in one word, pardon. 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 The request is so simple, but the request that is made by Moses in this text of Scripture, the basis of this request is what he recalled, what God had previously revealed to him. Notice it says this, pardon, I beseech thee. Do you see the passion, if you will, of Moses as he's speaking to God? He's heard what God has said. He's experienced. I mean, can you imagine Moses as a leader? He sends these 12 guys out to go spy out the land. He knows that God has given them the instruction to go and to possess the land. And these 12 guys come back, and Moses is there as the human leader. And he has these 12 guys come back, and he's observing. He's seeing what's happening. And these 10 guys bring this evil report, this faithless report. And the whole congregation sides with them and says, yeah, let's go back to Egypt. Can you imagine Moses? As a leader, I'm defeated. I'm discouraged. What's going on? Two guys, Joshua and Caleb, they say, hey, listen, God is able. And then they're going to stone those guys. Say, what's going on? And God then speaks to them. He says, I'm going to smite them. I'm going to build up thee a greater nation. But Moses recalls God's great mercy. And he says, pardon, I beseech thee. We read that phraseology as we speak about Paul in Romans 12, and so often we reference that in that portion of Scripture. I beseech thee, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we find that as we look at what's taking place, and we find that Moses here, he says, I beseech thee, the passion that Moses has, he says, pardon. I beseech thee, the iniquity of Moses? No. Of this people. Of this people. Of this people. God told Moses, I'll build of thee a greater nation. Moses wasn't the offender. Moses wasn't the one that had no faith. Moses wasn't the one that was walking by sight. But Moses says, Lord, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Notice what he says, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. According unto the greatness of thy mercy. We find, again, the basis of the request is God's great mercy. And then notice as you continue in verse 19, the Bible says, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. You think about that phrase to end verse 19. His mercy has been regularly on display. He had forgiven his people. You think about the children of Israel. I mean, right after they enter or cross over the Red Sea, the complaining begins immediately. We've mentioned about the murmuring. I mean, they sing this great song in Exodus chapter number 15 about the deliverance and all that God has done. And then they get to a place where there's bitter water and they start complaining immediately. And then they complain that there's nothing to eat. And then later on, they'll complain that they don't like what God provided for them, and just the murmuring. And here we find that Moses is praying. He's pleading with God. He's interceding on the behalf of the people that God would pardon them according to the greatness of his mercy. And he says this, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Moses makes a bold request. His request is made because of what he had recalled. He recalled what God had revealed to him, as noted in Exodus 34. I'm thankful that God's mercy is on display throughout his word. You can read over and over throughout God's word of God's mercy being on full display. You've experienced in your life, and I've experienced in my life, God's mercy. And I'm so thankful this morning that Moses would stand between the people and the Lord, and he would cry out and he would beseech the Lord, and he would say that it's not because they deserve it, because what they deserve was judgment. I don't deserve to be forgiven. You don't deserve to be forgiven. But I'm certainly thankful that God chose to forgive us. What a blessing. You can't earn forgiveness. You can't. There are people that try. There are religious systems that have been designed and developed to try to persuade people that they can do something to earn forgiveness, to buy God's favor. It's not possible. It's not possible. As we look at the passage of Scripture here in Numbers 14, we note first what Moses recalled and what he requested. But now I want you to notice as we finish the passage of Scripture here in verse number 20, I want you to notice how God responded. Notice how God responded. It's a simple verse of Scripture. The Lord speaks back to Moses. Now, again, I hope in your mind's eye, as I'm thinking about the events of this passage, and I've sought to try to explain them quickly to you this morning, Moses is there, and he sees all that's happened, and all the interaction of the people and the congregation, and God then speaks to Moses. But then Moses speaks back to the Lord, and he rehearses some things that he recalls, and he makes a request, and now God speaks back to Moses. And he says this in verse number 20, I have pardoned. I have pardoned according to thy word. Now I want you to think about that statement, I have pardoned. And we find that it's according to thy word because Moses had made the request. And we find that God is not going to judge these people. He's not going to smite these people at this particular time. If you continue reading, you understand that this particular group of people, they will die in the wilderness and so on and so forth. They will not enter into the land of promise. But at this particular time, they receive mercy. They receive mercy. And God says, I have pardoned according to thy word. As we begin to think about the response of God and we see what's taking place, I'm reminded of the book of Nehemiah. Turn over there, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter number 7. And we fast forward in Israel's history by a long period of time as you come to the book of Nehemiah in chapter number 9. You come to the book of Nehemiah and you find that here in this portion of Scripture, it's amazing as you think about where we are there in Numbers, they've not yet entered into the land of promise, the children of Israel. They would wander for all of those years in the wilderness and they would eventually go into the land. They would conquer, divide, and inhabit the land. They'd go through a period of judges for nearly 450 years, and Samuel would come on the scene as a prophet. We find they'd ask for a king, and God gives them a king, and Saul, and David, and Solomon. Then the kingdom is divided, and the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north, no good kings after the divided kingdom, downhill the whole way, taken captive by the Assyrians. The nation of Judah, the two tribes of the south, periods of time in their history where they have good kings, revival, prophets of God, people responding and getting right and God sending revival. But eventually they too are taken captive, they by the Babylonians. And then we come to the book of Nehemiah. I mean, all that history between Numbers 14 and Nehemiah, hundreds of years. You come to Nehemiah, this remnant is going to return. And we find that Nehemiah begins in verse number 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Sound familiar to what we were just talking about in Numbers 14? Notice what it says, "But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." If you skip down, we don't have time to look at all that's taken place, but if you skip down to verse number 31, notice what the Bible says, "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God." This morning, we find that God desires that we as His children would know that He is a merciful God. He desires that we would have that knowledge. Listen, He's revealed and recorded it for us through the pages of this precious book, that each of us would have this confident knowledge that God is a merciful God. I believe for each of us that are gathered here this morning that have personally been the recipients of God's mercy, that we would stand and rejoice and thank God that He's a merciful God. But there's a world that does not know that our God is a merciful God. And just as He's been merciful to you and to me, He's ready to pardon. He's a merciful God. Now you understand that I can't pray for someone else to be saved. It's a personal matter. It's a personal decision. But I wonder this morning how many people we come in contact with that don't know that God is merciful, that God is ready to pardon. I think about that term, ready, or that phrase, ready to pardon. God is not in a situation where He's like, "Well, I guess, you know, if you really twist my arm, then I'll..." No, He's ready to pardon. He's ready to pardon. He's ready to forgive. And this morning, someone took the time to reveal to you and to reveal to me that God is merciful. And I'm thankful. If you would have asked me 30 years ago, "Is God merciful?" I have no idea. Zero knowledge to be able to answer that question. But today I can stand with great boldness and confidence and say that I know that God is merciful. Number one, I can take you to a number of passages of Scripture, just as we've looked at here this morning, that God is merciful. It's part of His very being. He's a merciful God. But I can also tell you how that I've received, personally, God's mercy. Notice that passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, if you will, and we'll close with this passage this morning. So we look in Ephesians chapter number 2. Moses recalled what God had previously revealed. That message that he recalled contained within it the various attributes of our God, and one of them being that He's of great mercy. Because of what he recalled, he made a bold request. "Pardon, I beseech thee. Pardon according unto the greatness of thy mercy." And God responded and said, "I have pardoned." And notice this in Ephesians 2, verse number 1, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Listen, we were all in the same position. "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." The first two words of verse number 4, "but God." But God, "who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. He didn't give us what we deserved. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, you'll begin reading about the grace of God. God giving us what we do not deserve. Some have described it as God's riches at Christ's expense. I know Ronnie likes to use that phraseology, and it's good. And this morning we see that he then continues and speaks about the grace of God, but a sister passage of Scripture in Titus in verse 3 and verse number 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. This morning I'm thankful that someone told me that God was merciful. I see in the passage of Scripture this morning in Numbers 14 how Moses recalls this, and he stands as an intercessor between the people and God. This morning, I want to see people saved. You know, it grieves my heart. I'll be very transparent with you this morning. It grieves my heart when I hear Christian people say and desire for God's judgment upon lost people. I hear it, and it grieves my heart. Why? Because I've read Revelation 20. And when you read Revelation 20, you read about that second death, to be cast in the lake of fire. You can't wish that on anybody. As a child of God and as a recipient of God's mercy, it ought never cross our lips, God judge those people. I always say, God save those people. God, just as you've been merciful to me, would you be merciful to them? Listen, I can't pray for them to be saved, but God's called us to go give them a message. And it grieves my heart that there are believers that have that opinion of certain peoples around the world. Whether they're of a different religion or whatever the case might be, we see a lot of wickedness in our world. We're dealing in a time like they did in the Old Testament with Jeremiah and Isaiah, where they call evil good and good evil. When they legislate wickedness, we're living in a time like that. And if we're not careful, we can get this, God judge them. How about God save them? We sing the song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We sing the song about being redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed how? By the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. We sing about telling the old story. As you read that song and sing those words, for some have never heard. There's so many that have never heard. They don't know this morning that God is merciful. And who's going to tell them? Do you think our politicians are going to tell them that God is merciful? Seriously. Do you think our educators are going to tell them that God is merciful? Do you think Hollywood's going to tell them that God is merciful? Those that have been the recipients of God's mercy are the ones that not only have been appointed to, but that are most qualified to tell them that God is merciful. Why? We've received it. We've experienced it. We know that God is rich in mercy. this morning, I hope that we would rejoice in knowing the mercy of God. But I hope this morning that we'd have a burden to tell someone that our God is rich in mercy. I understand that when you share the gospel, you got to convince them, they got to know they're lost. And that their sin carries with it a consequence. It's absolutely essential that that's part of the gospel presentation. But oh, how wonderful it is to get to that point. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. I hope this morning we leave here encouraged because we know that God is merciful, comforted, and be reminded that God has been merciful to us. But I hope that we leave challenged. God, would you help me? Help me this week to have an opportunity to tell somebody of God's great mercy. Why is your God great? Because of his great works. Yeah, because of his great power. Absolutely. Because of his great mercy. His mercy is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. He is great in mercy. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning to be encouraged. I pray that we'd rejoice greatly as we're reminded of your great mercy, how thankful we are. I pray that we'd be challenged in our own lives, personally. God, would you use us this week? Help us to be specific about it. Lord, help us to pray for the opportunity and then look for the opportunity and seize the opportunity. Help us, God, this week to tell somebody about your great mercy. That just as we have been the recipients of your great mercy and you saved us, you'll save them. I thank you that you're able to save to the uttermost. I thank you that you've told us in your word that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think of the Apostle Paul before his conversion, religious but lost, against Christianity, consenting unto the death of Stephen, hailing men and women of that sort, taking them to prison. But God, your mercy, your mercy. Thankful that you revealed yourself to Saul and he trusted Christ. You used him in such an amazing way. God, I pray this morning, would you help us to tell someone about your great mercy. Work in these moments of invitation. Have your will and way. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Kimberly plays,